Markets are often described as arenas of opportunity, vast fields where anyone, with enough insight or discipline, can carve out success. The dream is intoxicating, a meritocracy written in numbers, where effort translates into reward, where patience and study promise eventual triumph. It is this story that pulls millions into the game, each believing they can be among the few who rise. But beneath this hopeful surface lies a geometry far less forgiving. Most will lose. And not by misfortune, but by design. The structure itself requires it. Markets cannot function without liquidity, and liquidity comes from participation, conviction, and ultimately losses. For the winners to exit with profit, others must provide the other side of the trade. The system feeds on imbalance, and the crowd is its harvest. This is where the Pareto principle, so often reduced to the shorthand of the 80-20 rule, moves from productivity cliché into structural law. In markets, it is not merely that 20% of participants secure 80% of the gains. It is that this asymmetry is hardwired into the system itself. It is the hidden gravity that bends outcomes, the architecture behind the spectacle of charts and candles, the quiet law beneath the noise. What the Pareto principle really says. The Pareto principle began not as a trading axiom, but as a quiet observation by the Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto in the late 19th century. He noticed that roughly 80% of Italy's land was owned by just 20% of its people. What seemed at first like a quirk of wealth distribution soon revealed itself as a recurring pattern, appearing in business profits, creative output, social influence, crime rates, even the distribution of software bugs. In system after system, a small minority accounted for the overwhelming majority of results. Crucially, the principle is not about the exact percentages. It might be 70-30, or 90-10, or even more extreme. The essence is asymmetry. Outcomes cluster disproportionately around the few, while the many are scattered thinly across the margins. The center of gravity is rarely at the center at all. It gathers at the edges, where leverage and advantage concentrate. In markets, this asymmetry sharpens into design. Advantages are not evenly distributed, and once secured, they compound. Time, capital, information, technology, and discipline stack upon themselves like layers of armor. The well-capitalized can survive drawdowns that bankrupt the underfunded. The faster system reacts to opportunities before the slower hand can even lift. The disciplined risk manager bleeds less in error, while the impatient gambler burns quickly. Small leads, once established, tend not to fade. They widen. This is why in competitive arenas, winners often keep winning. They are not merely lucky. They are structurally advantaged. Each cycle of success adds capital, confidence, and resilience, reinforcing their edge. Meanwhile, the majority are left chasing shadows, arriving late, entering at worse prices, carrying heavier costs. The gap between the minority and the crowd is not accidental. It is inevitable. In the philosophy of markets, I called this the Pareto trap, the paradox that the crowd creates its own disadvantage. Every time 80% of participants act in unison, piling into the same trade, the same breakout, the same safe narrative, that very unity becomes fragility. When the rush comes, it is not the first through the door who suffers, but the many pressed against it. The minority who step aside or who wait just beyond are the ones who harvest the pressure of consensus. Scale becomes weakness. Certainty becomes kindling. Pareto efficiency in markets. In economics, Pareto efficiency describes a state where no participant can be made better off without making someone else worse off. On paper, it suggests elegance, an economy humming in perfect balance, where all waste is eliminated and every resource is placed exactly where it yields the most. It is often invoked as a picture of harmony, of systems that have reached a kind of mathematical peace. But in markets, Pareto efficiency has sharper teeth. In a liquid and competitive arena, it means that every available inefficiency, the very cracks from which profit might be drawn, evaporates the moment it is widely recognized. Once too many participants crowd into the same strategy, the advantage disappears. The inefficiency is arbitraged away, consumed by the very act of attention. What once offered gain becomes neutral, and what remains is risk stripped of its reward. This explains why the safe trade so often proves treacherous. By the time a setup is obvious, by the time commentators agree, and by the time social media trumpets it as certainty, it has already been priced in. Consensus does not create profit, it extinguishes it. In a Pareto-efficient environment, what everyone knows is no longer worth knowing, because its value has already been extracted. Safety becomes illusion. Efficiency, then, is not comfort. It is speed. It is the relentless stripping away of edges from the slow and their transfer to the fast. It is why retail traders are so often left holding positions just as they sour, because by the time information has reached them, been digested and acted upon, the window of advantage has already closed. In such an environment, profit belongs to those who anticipate, not those who confirm. The irony is striking. The very forces that make markets appear fair, rapid communication, deep liquidity, universal access, also make them brutally unforgiving. In stripping away advantage from the many, efficiency protects the few who can act before the crowd. Harmony, in practice, looks less like equality and more like acceleration. The zero-sum spine of the game. From a distance, markets appear to be engines of value creation. They fund businesses, allocate capital, and in the long run, can generate genuine wealth. This is true at the macro level, but zoom in to the scale of individual trades, ticks, and positions, and the picture shifts. At this granular level, markets are not about creation at all. They are about transfer. What one trader gains, another must forfeit. Every profit is balanced by someone else's loss. This is the zero-sum spine of the game. This structure means that your position does not exist in isolation. It exists against. Every entry is a wager not just on what is true, but on how others will behave in response. If you buy, you implicitly bet that someone will later be willing to buy from you at a higher price. If you sell, you wager that others will validate that choice by selling at even lower prices. The dance is relational, not absolute. It is less about facts than about sequence, less about knowledge than about timing. Timing, in this framework, becomes the quiet tyrant. You can be entirely correct about fundamentals, spotting the company poised to grow, the currency doomed to weaken, the commodity about to tighten, yet still lose if you arrive too early or too late. Precision without timing is poetry without voice. The market rewards not accuracy in itself, but accuracy relative to the crowd. This is why, in the philosophy of markets, I describe trading as gamesmanship over truth. Knowledge is only valuable if positioned ahead of recognition. To know at the same time as everyone else is to know too late. The crowd buys when the story is already priced in, sells when the panic is already exhausted. Truth lags. The winners are those who anticipate its arrival and are already seated when the crowd bursts through the door. The zero-sum nature of markets does not make them cruel. It makes them competitive. No villain is required, only structure. But it does demand awareness. Every profit is mirrored by loss. Every gain exists in tension with another's surrender. To step into this arena is to accept that survival depends not just on being right, but on being right sooner. How they interlock. Individually, the Pareto principle, Pareto efficiency, and the zero-sum structure each reveal a fragment of market reality. But taken together, they form a closed loop, the invisible architecture that governs the entire arena. Once you see how they interlock, it becomes difficult to unsee. The market is not a level playing field, but a machine designed around asymmetry, speed, and transfer. The 80-20 dynamic ensures that gains concentrate in the hands of the few. This imbalance is not anomaly, but architecture, the gravitational tilt that defines every cycle of participation. Pareto efficiency ensures that once an inefficiency becomes obvious, it vanishes. Edges decay under the weight of attention, stripping advantage from the slow and rewarding only those positioned ahead of consensus. The zero-sum structure ensures that these concentrated gains are extracted from losses elsewhere. Every transfer of profit has a counterweight. The minority's advantage exists only because the majority supplies it. This cycle creates a system that is adversarial by necessity. No villain is required, only structure. For the minority to keep winning, the majority must be wrong predictably enough to provide liquidity and conviction. The crowd's optimism is harvested as entry. The crowd's certainty becomes the exit rand for those already in position. Participation itself becomes the fuel of the machine. What looks like randomness from the outside is in fact the interplay of these three forces. Asymmetry concentrates outcomes. Efficiency consumes advantage. Zero-sum mechanics transfer gains. Together, they form the invisible balance that bends every market, regardless of asset, time frame, or era. The strategic takeaway. For those who step into this arena, survival depends on resisting the gravitational pull of the crowd. To move with the majority is to become its fuel. If the system is built on asymmetry, efficiency, and transfer, then aligning too closely with consensus means surrendering your edge before the contest begins. The challenge is not simply to ask what is true, but to ask what will be believed next. Not merely where is value, but where is the crowd positioned, and when will they be forced to move? This is why the market does not reward correctness in itself. It rewards anticipation. The minority who win are not necessarily those who know more, but those who move sooner, who position before recognition hardens into consensus. In this sense, trading is less about knowledge than posture. Holding still while the crowd rushes past, stepping aside before the standard, standing ready when certainty becomes fragile. In the philosophy of markets, I describe this as the art of divergence. The edge lives in the cracks between what is known and what is about to be known, between what is believed and what is about to unravel. To follow the crowd is to supply its harvest. To anticipate its reversal is to stand where liquidity will be delivered. For the trader, then, the task is not to chase safety, but to learn to read the countdown hidden inside it. Consensus is not a refuge. It is a signal of exhaustion. When everyone agrees, the market has already moved. When everyone feels certain, the harvest is near. The crowd is not your companion. It is your context. Series note, this post is part of the Understanding Market Mechanics series. In the last piece, The Long Shadow of Markets, Understanding the Secondary Market Effect and Arbitrage, we explored how time delays and market feedback distort perception and policy. Here, we've seen that even in perfect efficiency, markets are built to concentrate gains, not distribute them.